Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That's true. And the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Welcome to the program. Good second hour for you. Coming up next segment, a safety for the Buffalo Bills, Micah Hyde. But as promised, we start hour number two by having a conversation with the Golden State Warriors president of basketball operations and the general manager. He is a two-time NBA executive of the year, led Golden State to three NBA titles and five straight conference titles. He helped build a team that has produced the best six-year run in the history of the NBA record-wise. A recent inductee into the Monta Vista High School Athletic Hall of Fame. Golden State is back at it against Atlanta tonight, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. We are joined by Bob Myers. Bob, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. In fact, let me rephrase the question, Bob. Before we talk basketball, how is life right now?
Good, man. Got the three girls. I don't know how your house is, but it's I got a good balance in life. I got all testosterone at work, and then at home it's a bunch of estrogen, and it works out good. My kids are – I don't know how you raise kids properly. I'm still figuring that out, but – it's, in a climate where sports matter so much, I go to work, and it's kind of, we all think, whether you're working for any organization, and you interview all kinds of people from sports, we think the world revolves around us, and then it's nice to go home and realize that it really doesn't. So it's good, man. How about you? How you doing?
Same thing, Bob. Exactly. You go home and you realize what's really important and what matters, and it's not necessarily what we do. The difference for us, Bob, we dropped our older son, Jake, off at the University of Wisconsin. So he went away to college this fall, came back for the holidays, so that was kind of a blast. But you're right. You come home and you know exactly what does matter. Let me ask you this. On that same topic, last November, after a loss to San Antonio, Steve Kerr made the point, and I quote, "We've had such a charmed existence the last four seasons. This is the toughest stretch we've been in. This is the real NBA. We haven't been in the real NBA the last few years. We've been in this dream," end quote. Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, but the dream, yeah. I think maybe for me the dream wasn't all perfect. When you're in it, it's great. And I think there's a lot of truth to what he said. Winning and winning at the level we won at does still require, it requires a lot, man. It's not like you're just watching it happen. May be hard for listeners to understand, but there's almost more pressure when your only acceptable outcome is winning a championship. There's some weight to that. It's not bad. It's good. It's what you want to carry. It's the expectations you want. But, I always look at it like running a marathon. I don't know if you're supposed to run five in a row back to back to back to back to back, but we did, and you're happy about it, and you do it while you can. This is more – now, I don't know if this is the real NBA, because I can't say this without people hearing it as if it's an excuse, and I don't want it to be heard that way because I'm happy to own whatever challenges we go through. But the injuries are a little unusual, the amount of them and the players that actually have gotten hurt. But again, in this industry, in this nature, that sounds weak. That sounds like an excuse. I'm really not trying to say it that way. It's just a fact. It's reality. It's just as if you'd say we've had good health, but we've had bad health. So, yeah, man, you move through it. I'm lucky to have Steve as a partner in all this. For him, he's never lost. So I think even for him, it's tougher. I didn't win at the level of my life that Steve Kerr did. I mean, he played 15 years, I think, in the league and had 1 year where he lost, where he didn't go to the playoffs, I believe, which is kind of crazy. And then he was the GM of the Suns, and they did well. And then he came on board with us and went to five finals in a row. So, I mean, Kerr for sure. I've lost more in my life. It's more reality than going to the finals 5 years in a row, that's for sure.
Bob Meyer is joining us. Obviously, Bob, and I thought you did a great job of laying out exactly what that's like. You don't want the run to end, but is there something reinvigorating about a new challenge?
Yeah. I mean, we haven't been involved at the trade deadline for 5 years, or we've been in free agency. But, yeah, I mean, I look at it like, let me give you a I don't know if this is a good example or not, but when I took this job, people said, what's the difference between this and being an agent? And I said, well, an agent, you got these one-off transactions, and it's fun. You're trying to build a client base and get a good group of guys, get them paid, and get as many good players as you can. This job is like a puzzle, and you're trying to put it together. And when I showed up, the puzzle was mostly not done. And with the group, with help from my group and our owner and everybody that was involved, we put a puzzle together. And Steve was a huge part of that, and our players certainly were the biggest part. And then for the last 3 years, if I'm being honest, I would just walk by the cardboard table and look at that puzzle and, hey, it looks pretty good, and just kind of keep going. Now, that's fine when you have a completed thing. It's not often you get that in this business, in any sport, where you look at your roster and go, I don't know if we should do much. But, you know, I don't know the right word to use to describe it, but you do just kind of get used to that, and you're not doing much with it. You're staring at it. It looks good. And then what happened in the finals and also in the off season and in the beginning of this season with injuries, you know, it's like my 1.5-year-old came over and just kind of knocked it off on the ground.
So right.
You're staring at it and you're kind of like, okay, let's put it back together. So, yes, it's the same way. I mean, dumping out a new puzzle over the holidays and going, all right, who wants to do this with me? And the best part is you get your group together, you look at it and go, where's our corner pieces? What fits, what doesn't? And, yes, that's invigorating in some sense, but also losing sucks too. So it's all connected.
Yeah, Bob, in terms of the analogy, how about this? I can remember back in the day I had a beautiful laptop. Man, I love that laptop. It was so nice. I knew if I turned it on, it would work. It would do what it was supposed to do until my then 2 or 3 year old came over to the same laptop and started pulling all the keys off it. And that didn't work so well. And
right.
then that
exactly.
became something different. All right, so part of the puzzle, yeah. There's also the new building. You've got a new building, and legend has it you were fired up about the potential of a new cookie room in the Chase Center. How do you like that new building so far, and what's it say about the vision of the organization?
Oh, the building's fantastic. I mean, it's really good. And again, you know, people listening will say, I have to say that it's just true. And for people, anybody that's listening that has been, and you got to come check it out, Jim, whenever you want. But bring your college son. But It's a really nice building. They did a really good job. It's got everything you want. The only thing it doesn't have is any memories. So it's just like a home. I mean, you have to have some memories in it. Your kid has to bang his head against the counter, and you have to get some stitches, and you have to have some holidays, got to have some birthdays. We have no memories. We've moved into this place, and it's beautiful, and I wouldn't change any of it. And for me, just walking over from my office to the games is huge. The players, we have one locker room. Depends on what you value in life, but it's got what you want. It really does. And the location is probably my favorite part, just a building in San Francisco, a world-class, world-renowned city. They really did a wonderful job. The owners, there was no expenses spared. But again, it's not Oracle yet because we haven't poured sweat into it. We haven't had a playoff game in it. To be honest, we haven't won that much in it yet. And so that's what makes a building unique. I mean, you probably went to the Forum growing up. And then when the Lakers moved into Staples, and I was there too, I went to game, you know, and then I was living in L.A. and I'd go to Staples. It takes time to build what matters. You know, the old Boston Garden, those places were special because of the memories within them. They weren't necessarily the buildings. So you have to create new ones, and that's what we're working on.
That's a great analogy as well. Bob Myers joining us. So, Bob, you along with Steve Kerr and a number of players as well as members of the organization are going to head to East Lansing tomorrow night for the retirement of Draymond's Michigan State jersey. Draymond always talks about the relationship the two of you have. How would you describe that and what he means to you and to that organization?
Oh, you know, he's you've talked to Draymond. The thing I like most about Draymond is that he's flawed, and that may not sound like a compliment, but he's real, and it's hard to connect with people in this business. You know, people you work with in sports it's very egocentric. We get caught up in what is about us, and we, you know, even some of our players, they'll ask me a question, but hey, how's it going, or how's your family? And I'll commend them. I'll say, great, good job. And they'll say, what? I said, you're asking questions. You know, it's kind of like they have to work because so much revolves around them, and they're always the center of attention. It's hard for them. And I don't want to be too general, but you got to be a human being too. And so the thing I like most about Draymond is because we've been through a lot of good and some challenges, he's honest and he's kind of open. He'll say, yeah, I screwed up, and he'll listen. And he's not super defensive when he makes mistakes. And so through all of the last 8 or 9 years, it's gotten to the point where we kind of know each other. But it takes years, man. I mean, it takes a long time. Everybody thinks, you know, we'll sign a player and they'll say, you know, have you gotten to know him yet? And I'll say, it's only been 2-3 months. And it takes time. And so, like I said, with the arena, with Draymond, it takes time. But to see him honored at Michigan State, it's well deserved, and he's a great reflection of what matters, and was a great college player. Obviously, he's a great pro, but it's hard. In this bit, like yours, Jim, you probably worked with a lot of people over the years, and we talk about this guy's my friend, and I'll stay connected. But really, the truth is, sadly, we don't. But there's a few people you do. They come in town, and you make an effort to go to dinner with them. Draymond's a guy. 20 years from now, I'll go out of my way. Just because the guy's an interesting guy. He's just he's got a way. He's got a charisma about him. Some people don't like him, but if they knew him, if they really knew him, I think they would. And so I'm honored to go and watch him get that jersey retired.
No, I think you're right, Bob. I think that is one of those guys that years down the road, you still stay connected. And it seems to me that you're in the middle of this 5-game road trip. The fact that so many people are going to make the trip to see that happen for him, it speaks to exactly how people feel about him within the organization. Look, there's no denying that the season is challenging from a results standpoint. But at the same time, when you look at the fact that you're missing a pair of Hall of Famers, we're injured right now, you're hitting the road scouting for the draft. If the roster is healthy and you know you can make some moves, how quickly can this thing turn back around?
I mean, it could be next year. I mean, it could be at the end. I don't know. We'll see. But it's there. I mean, the pieces are there. We have to see it. But, you know, unfortunately, we haven't seen the true, even Clay being out and Steph being out as long as he has. It's hard to really know, but I believe in those guys. Obviously, they've proven they can win and play together. But we have to now reestablish a new continuity, a new chemistry, and that takes a little time. But I'm confident, you know, it won't be what we can do next year. I'll be excited to see. But I do know this. What we will be, and I think I speak for everybody, most importantly the players, there'll be a new – I was sitting last year at a regular season game, and a GM of the other team came and sat with me. We were watching the game, and at the end of the game, we were going to win the game. We were up 10 with about 30 seconds to go, and he taps me on the shoulder. He puts his hand out and says, "Hey, congratulations," and to shake my hand. And I looked at him and I said, "For what?" And he said, "You're going to win the game." And I said, "Oh yeah, thanks." That's not a made up story. I did not know what he was talking about when he congratulated me. I promise you, next year, Jim, when we were in regular season game, it's going to mean something. And that's just what it is. It's hard not to get, I don't want to say complacent. I don't know if entitled, but you do lose a little bit of appreciation when, I think last year, if you looked at the last 3 years at least, I bet we weren't favored in 8-9 games out of 100 and 200 games, to be honest. I mean, we weren't supposed to win 10 of them. And so you do get a little bit, that's not reality when Steve talks about reality. So from a player standpoint, the regular season and any win will be appreciated more. I think it'll be fought for more. But I'm excited for it, too. I'm excited to see what we can do.
No, I think that's true, Bob. And I think that when you have that success after everything you've been through, everything you're going through right now, it's going to be different. I mean, that's not to say that you didn't appreciate it when you were in it, but how could you not appreciate it more when you see what you have to go through and the perspective you have? Really quickly, before you go, I mentioned off the top that you were recently inducted into the Monta Vista High School Athletic Hall of Fame. I know you're going to be modest. I know you'll downplay your accomplishments. But what were those days like for you?
I'm not going to be – I'm just going to be truthful, Jim. I wasn't – I stood up and the people that – it was the first Hall of Fame induction. And the people that were inducted were really accomplished people. I mean, there was some people that had done a lot at Monta Vista and beyond. There's a world-class women's water polo player who's probably the best in the world. And there were some high-level people that went on to do some really exciting things. So when I stood up, I did feel like this was some kind of charitable deal. I had a couple of buddies text me from my high school team and said, "I was better than you." And I know. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But I guess if I was going to validate it, I'd say I'm the guy that got inducted, I suppose, because of just effort and hard work and not the most talented, but I do think I represent the high school in a way where, you know, you keep working, you do try to stay humble, and we should honor people like that. I mean, you know, there's people like that that should be honored. But again, in the real Hall of Fames, it is mostly about talent, which is fine. It's just fine. But it was a fun night. I was there with my family and my wife's family. And you take those things, Jim. I don't know if you're in the Hall of Fame, but you just take what you can get at this point. You just appreciate it.
Well, no, I get that, Bob. Recently, for some reason, and I'm like you, I'm not sure exactly how it happened, but they put me into the Radio Hall of Fame. And at this point, you take those things and you appreciate those things. And I think you're right. I think it's not about talent, but it's about hard work and dedication. And it worked out. He is a recent inductee into the Monta Vista High School Athletic Hall of Fame. I'm going to start right there. He's a two-time NBA Executive of the Year, led the Warriors to those three NBA titles and five straight conference titles. Golden State back at it tonight at Atlanta. Bob Myers, very good friend of the program. Bob, I appreciate you so much. Great to have you back. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Hey, come to a I know we're not winning a lot, but come check out the new arena.
Well, this time I am, Bob. I'm going to say it for the record. This time I am. This time I am. I will take you up on that. I can't wait to see that new building. I'll do it.
All right, Jim.
All right,
thanks.
Take care,
Bob.
Appreciate you. And Raymond Ritter, too, and his crew. I just said it for the record. Bob, I'm coming up for this. I definitely will do that. Bob Myers, Golden State Warriors president of basketball ops, and he is their GM. And as I always say, after he comes on, nobody quite like that guy. Very different, different guy. And I mean that in the best way possible. When we come back, we'll talk Bills football. Safety Micah Hyde joins me. I got something for you, Bills Mafia. Micah Hyde next. We've all heard of Casper, you know, the sleep company with the outrageously comfortable products at not so outrageous prices, from award-winning mattresses to pillows, sheets, and duvets. Casper transforms the way we sleep, one snooze at a time. You haven't tried them yet? Then it's time to treat yourself to better sleep during their Black Friday Cyber Monday sale. The Casper mattress is an award-winning balance of comfort and support because it's designed for four layers, with four layers, a premium foam for an all-night pressure relief. The zone support keeps your back aligned and cradles you with extra support. Casper is the perfect place to get all your holiday shopping done because, let's be honest, everybody sleeps every single night. And as always, Casper has free shipping and free returns. Treat yourself to 15% off select mattresses today at Casper.com and use the code BESTDEALEVER. That's Casper.com. Code BESTDEALEVER. And get 15% off select mattress orders today. Terms and conditions do apply. See Casper.com/terms. And remember, the code is BESTDEALEVER.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Another great interview with Bob Myers of the Golden State Warriors. My thanks to him, Raymond Ritter, and Golden State overall. Let's talk some Buffalo Bills football. We are joined by a Pro Bowler, a safety for the Bills, 10 tackles and a forced fumble in that win over Dallas, 50 tackles, two passes defensed, an INT, two forced fumbles, and one kickoff return for a TD this season, the Tatum Woodson Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. Defensive back of the year. 159th pick in 2013 out of Iowa, and another huge game for the Bills. They're hosting Baltimore Sunday, CBS game, 1 p.m. Eastern. Micah Hyde is my guest. Micah, nice to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you doing, bud?
Good, good, good. So take me back to Thanksgiving first. I get that every single game is significant, but does it feel a little bit different when it's Dallas against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I think the Thanksgiving game is obviously pretty exciting itself, but obviously playing in Dallas, you know, it's always fun to play there, and you know, the luxury of crowds into it. Obviously, a very good opponent, so we need to get out of there with the win.
Micah Hyde joining us. So Dallas went on a 75-yard TD drive to start that game, and then you and the defense absolutely locked them up for the next three quarters. What changed, and how pleased were you with the way the defense locked in the way it did?
Well, I think if you can just be able to, the opening drive hasn't really gone our way, but, you know, you got to give credit to our coaching staff and the players just flushing it, getting back to the sideline, making adjustments, going out there and just playing our brand of football. Nobody got too worked up, or no one got, down, and we just want to go out there and compete and do it the rest of the game.
Bill Safety, Micah Hyde's my guest. And after you beat Miami in Week 11, you were praising Josh Allen, and you made the point that he could be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Then he goes out against Dallas on national TV. He accounts for 274 yards, had a couple of touchdowns, a passer rating of over 120. What did you make of his performance in that game?
You know, that's our quarterback, man. We love him. He goes out there and competes every day, whether it's practice or, something in a football game. So, we ride or die with him, and it's awesome to see him go out there and, like you said, national TV on Thanksgiving, huge game, and just be himself. He's not trying to be anybody else. We know what type of football player he is. He understands what type of football player he is, and That's why we love him. And it's good to see him go out there and compete and have fun.
Dose Safety, Micah Hyde is my guest. Going into the game, Mike, as you pointed out, almost everybody picked against you guys. Then you go out, mm-hmm. you dominate on the road. Did it feel like a statement win to you?
I mean, that's kind of a common theme this year of people picking against us. But you know, at the end of the day, we don't really buy into that statement stuff. We just go out there and play our brand of football, like I said, control what we control. And that was, that's why I think that we play so well on the road. It's just we go there and play fearless and that all week, and that's what we did.
So you mentioned that brand of football a couple of times. How would you describe the attitude and the identity of this Bills team? Exactly what is that brand?
It's the kind of the same brand of the city of Buffalo. It's not always pretty, but at the end of the day, we're going to go out there, we're going to work hard, we're going to put our hard hats on, we're going to compete, and it's going to come down to the end of the game, and I think it comes down to how well our fundamentals are, how well we are at situational football, and like I said, that's the city of Buffalo. People wake up every morning, go to work, don't complain, and that's how we try to approach each and every game.
Micah Hyde, my guest. You made another point, too, about Sean McDermott and what he's got in that locker room. A bunch of guys who've been maybe overlooked, guys who are hungry, guys who want to compete, guys who want to help the team win. That's actually a quote from you. So what's it like to play for him, and then how valuable is it to have a locker room full of guys who've got chips on their shoulders, who do have something to prove?
Yeah, I think playing for him is awesome. He's a go-getter. He wakes up every morning, and he wants to compete. And a lot of guys in the locker room are like that. I mentioned in a few interviews, a lot of guys have been on former teams where they've been overlooked. There's a lot of guys in the locker room that didn't get drafted where they want to get drafted. There's a lot of coaches that have been fired from former teams. It starts up top. A lot of guys have been overlooked and have that chip on their shoulder. It's amazing to see a lot of these guys, come together and just, fight for one common goal, and that's win football games and try to change this, culture in Buffalo. And that's why you see, back in 2017 when Sean McDermott got here, he's continued to do that, and it's been a process. The record last year didn't really indicate what was going on in the building, but I think this year we're kind of moving in the right direction, and we're going to continue to work, and another one starts on Sunday against Baltimore.
We're talking to Micah Hyde for a few more moments. We're talking Bills football. So in terms of that culture change, when you arrived in 2017, the team had not been to the playoffs since the 99 season. You go your first year, and now you're 9-3. You're playing huge games in December. So what's been the biggest change from when you first arrived to now? How has that culture changed?
Like I said, I think it started with Sean. He's preached just high-character guys, being in the locker room, and just guys you want to be around each and every day. And I think the second thing is family. He's made an open locker room. Kids every day in the locker room, with their dads just running around, whether it's in the indoor or whatnot, or wives, and he's literally made it an open locker room for people to come just be a family. And I think that's kind of correlated to our locker room, just everybody knowing each other, knowing each other's families, just loving to be around each other.
Micah Hyde, my guest. Now, your name's getting a lot of run for the Pro Bowl. I know you're focused on winning games, but what does it mean to you to get that kind of respect, and what would it mean to you to go back to the Pro Bowl?
Obviously it's amazing. It's the hard work that I've been putting in, but there's a lot of guys on this defense, on this team, and offense that should be a part of it. I mentioned before when I went to the Pro Bowl, guys like Tre'Davious White should prefer to be there. He's playing left outside against other teams, number one. Football receivers each and every week. Somebody that I play alongside, Jordan Porter, that has been playing lights out also for the past 3 years alongside since we got here in 2017. So it's good to see our names being brought up. And I guess I can't mention how excited I am without mentioning those two guys also.
Micah Hyde, my guest. One last thought. You're now 9-3. You've got Baltimore coming to town Sunday. Another huge, huge game. When you think about facing Lamar Jackson, what is the key to stopping him in your mind, or at least slowing him down?
I think it's just containing him, to be honest. We're going to get in this week and watch a lot of film, and we're going to do what we can do to try to limit him on a lot of plays. Obviously, you see a lot of teams, a lot of defenses not being able to stop him. I don't think anybody has the secret to stopping Lamar Jackson. We understand that he's a great player, probably going to be the MVP of the league this year. And we're going to go out there and try to contain him, maybe keep him off the field and see what we can do.
Safety for the Buffalo Bills and a Pro Bowler, and that is a big, big game. Baltimore at home against Baltimore, 1 p.m. Eastern Sunday. It is a CBS game. Micah, great to have you back. I really appreciate the visit. Good luck.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate you having me.
Great talking to you, Micah. Thank you. Micah Hyde. Man, I'm always down to talk Bills football on this program. You know this. Always down to talk Bills football. So they're right there. They're a game back of the Patriots. 1-800-636-8686. Baltimore is coming to your house, Mafia, Sunday. How do you think that's going to go? Are you ready to win this game? You know, a lot of talk about the Bills just beating who they're supposed to beat. Man, take nothing away from them for, quote, beating who they're supposed to beat. It's not easy to win in that league. And the fact that they are there right where they are right now is something else. Then they go to Dallas on Thanksgiving, and nobody thought they'd win that game, and they did. So now they're at home against Baltimore. Can't wait for that challenge. Sunday, another NFL and CBS doubleheader. You've got Baltimore, as I mentioned. Lamar Jackson taking his show on the road to Buffalo. Followed up by a rematch of last year's AFC title game. The Patriots hosting the Chiefs. It all starts Sunday on the NFL Today at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific. I am going back. The Drew Kalisky email was in my box even before I got to the office this morning. So I've already got my assignment. I'm looking forward to that. That is going to be a big doubleheader on CBS. Great NFL weekend. And I will be back on the NFL on CBS Sunday, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. My thanks to Micah Hyde. All right, so we're open the rest of the way. We've done all three interviews in the first half of the program. Open phones, 1-800-636-8686.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I am Jim Rome. Welcome back. All right, next time you want a protein snack, ditch the drinks, the bars, grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky instead. It's tender, it's tasty, real beef that's going to rock your craving for a snack that satisfies. Be sure to ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? So when I say it's now open to you, and what do you want to talk about, I would expect better than what you've already talked about. And what you've already talked about is Bill Belichick's son and how he looks. Dear Jim, Steve Belichick's hair looks fine. Regards, Canada. Lee in Hartford. Lee, do better. Hey, Rome, what's wrong with Steve Belichick's look? We think it's great, and we look forward to having him back on the set to film the next Geico commercial. Best regards, the cavemen. Tony in H-Town. Steve Belichick's mullet, still not a topic. Hey, Rome, did Bob Meyer say that he'd go to dinner with Draymond Green in 20 years? Well, in 20 years, I'd still never go to another party with Boogie Cousins. Signed, that English kook who said that Boogie smoked all his weed.
The bottom line is that he is a self-absorbed mother scratcher. He's not a nice guy, and Sacramento is... Good to be rid of this person. He was handing out the weed to Cousins, and he didn't say thank you or nothing. Just kind of chilled on the couch, smoking away, ignored everybody. Not a good dude.
All right, so I don't know if that's true or not. That's just, quote, that English kook who alleged it. I don't bake, so I don't really know, but is that unusual? You smoke, and then you hang out and do not engage with others? Just chilling? You make that sound like that's some sort of crime. Let me talk to somebody who does bake frequently. Hey, Hawk, just kidding. I mean, I don't know if that's unusual or not. But apparently he's a, quote, mother scratcher because he didn't thank anybody for the bud and smoked it, a lot of it, and then sat on the couch and didn't talk to anybody.
Self-absorbed mother scratcher.
I don't know. This much I would know. I have heard the phrase, puff, puff, pass. Not puff, puff, puff. Puff. Puff, puff. Puff, puff, pass. Not puff, 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 puff. Anybody got any more? I don't know. It's not where I live. All right, so who had a worse weekend? Phone lines are open right now. All you have to do is pick up the phone, call, toll-free, get through Adam Hawk. He's going to ask you a very easy question. Hi, Jim Rome Show, what do you want to talk about? Give him a good answer. I'll get you right to the front of the line. But I want to ask the question, who do you think had a worse weekend? Jim Harbaugh or Nick Saban? And don't answer right away because it's not an easy question. And the reason it's not an easy question is they both had horrible weekends. Why don't we start with old Nicholas? He took his Alabama team into Auburn without a chance to win the SEC, but with a chance to make a final claim for a spot in the playoff. Then they lose 48-45 to their rival in a truly excruciating way. How bad was it? Let's count the ways. There was the clock at the end of the first half that allowed Auburn a chance to kick a field goal.
Ledbetter to hold it. There's the snap. The kick is on the way by Carlson, and he made it!
As you might imagine, Saban handled that like an absolute champ. No, he didn't. He damn near lost his mind. Then there was the 100-yard pick six.
Tennyson in motion. They throw it. It is incomplete. No, it's intercepted. Intercepted down the sideline. Tigers. Zacoby McClain. He may go the distance. One man to beat. They're not going to get him. He's to the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Auburn. Zacoby McClain goes the distance. Can you believe it?
IMG Sports Network. Then there was the chance for the game-tying field goal with 2 minutes left.
Bullitus for the tie. Kick is on the way, and it hit the right, the upright. It's no good. He hit the left upright. Places.
Doink! And then there was the fourth down play, where Gus Malzahn's crew completely fooled Nick Saban's.
It's fourth down and four. They're in a regular formation here with Nick's. It's going to try to draw him off sides, I guess. And they're saying that
I think they had 12 men on the field. That's why they didn't jump off sides, but they lined up, and Alabama had 12 men out there.
Middle substitution. Defense, 12 players in the formation.
I don't know if I've ever seen a game ended with too many men on the field.
Man, can't you count? And as you'd expect, Saban handled that like an absolute legend. Actually, he did not handle that well either. He complained that it was, quote, unfair.
And we had a chance to get the ball back at the end of the game. I really feel that it was a pretty unfair play at the end of the game. They substituted the punter as a wide receiver. So we put the punt team in. And then when the quarterback was still in there, we tried to put the defense back in. I thought they should have given us a little more time to substitute and get Waddle out as a returner. We get called for 12 guys on the field. So that was very disappointing. We're responsible for that as coaches, but it was a very unusual circumstance, to say the least. And
wow, did the alleged greatest coach ever just throw that card? It's unfair. It's not fair. That's not fair. My guy, you lost a game where you gave up 48 points. You committed 13 penalties. Yes, your kicker missed a critical field goal, and your backup QB had a pair of painful picks. But your backup QB also had a total of 367 yards and 4 touchdowns. You see, back in the day, that would have been more than enough for a Nick Saban defense to win. But this was not a Nick Saban defense. It hasn't been a Nick Saban defense. And that was not an Alabama team that deserved to be in the playoff. And Saban's left losing his mind on the field, on the sideline, and then complaining in a press conference. And for the first time ever, you've got the ensuing questions such as, is Saban past his prime? Is the Alabama dynasty, in fact, dead? And I'm sure Saban will handle both those questions as well as he handled the others this past weekend. In other words, really badly. This guy's a sore winner and a sore loser. You know there's another guy like that? A guy who's a sore winner and a sore loser? Bill Belichick. No one of those two do so well. And then there's Michigan. This was supposed to be the year. Year 5. Jim Harbaugh's guys, his culture, his process. No more excuses. I mean, sure, they had been humiliated 62-39 by Ohio State last year, but this was the year. Jim Harbaugh had waited out Urban Meyer, and now he was going to get to face the kid, the new guy, Ryan Day. And he was going to do it in Ann Arbor. It was set up for him and his team. I mean, if Jim Harbaugh couldn't end the streak this year, when would he? The answer is probably never. Because with all that going for them, the veteran against the first-year head coach, playing at home, the chance to break that streak, Michigan came out fired up. They knew what was at stake, and they were going to do anything and everything they could to get an edge, to get inside Ohio State's head, if need be, which is why a couple of dopes went Bush League and untied the shoe of Ohio State running back J.K. Dobbins after a play. Hey, look, I know Harbaugh likes to coach enthusiasm, but he sure as hell does not preach discipline, does he? Not if you're eating 15-yard flags for unsportsmanlike conduct in arguably the most critical game of your tenure. I mean, holy crap, what happened to the Michigan men? You know, this notion of the Michigan men being classy. I mean, if you can't win, at least be classy. And if you can't do either, then what are you exactly? You're a team that just got curb stomped by your rival again, this time 56-27 at home. Now, the good news is you didn't allow 62. The bad news is you gave up. And you gave up a big chunk, and you lost by 29 at home. So Harbaugh is now 0-5 against Ohio State. 0-5 in the only game that counts. 0-5 in a game that every Michigan coach ever gets measured by. 0-5 against the team that you were hired to beat. The team they pay you hellified jack to beat. And as you might imagine, unlike Saban, Harbaugh at least handled that embarrassing beatdown pretty well. Oh, no, he didn't.
Is this a talent gap? Is it a preparation gap? Is it a coaching gap? What is the biggest difference between you and Ohio State at this point?
I mean, I'll answer your questions, not your insults. So
that wasn't an insult. I mean, you give them 118 points in 2 years.
They played really good. They played good.
100 yards. That's what I'm asking. What's the biggest difference in the gap between you guys?
They played better today.
Quote, I'll answer your questions, but not your insults.
I mean, I'll answer your questions, not your insults.
What an amazing line. You just got smashed again. Yeah, I'm sure the facts do feel like insults. But see, that's the thing. That's not an insult. You just lost your last two games to Ohio State by a combined score of 118-66. You gave up 118 points in the last two games to the most important opponent on your schedule. Saying Ohio State played better on that day is not good enough. You don't just play better and score 118 points in two games. It's way more than that. That's not just a bad day. That's not just a one-off. Yeah, I bet you do feel insulted. You should. The scoreboard is insulting. In fact, it's offensive. If it's not insulting and offensive to you, it is definitely insulting and offensive to Michigan fans because they got their faces caved in again, their teeth kicked in again, and there's no sign of this stopping. There is a huge gap between these two programs on every single level. Talent, preparation, coaching, execution, class, you name it. You're there to win that game. That's the most important aspect of your job, and you have it. So all that other stuff doesn't matter because this is the game that Michigan has been pointing to ever since Herb announced that he was leaving. They have been building towards this, and they got the same exact result. Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields has got a pretty good idea of exactly what happened.
I just think we take it more serious than they do. I think we prepare for it all year. Like Coach Mick said, we're preparing for the next year right now. So I think it just means more at Ohio State. So that's pretty much, I think, the bigger reason why we have more success than they do.
It just means more to us. We just prepare better than they do. He's right. Is there anything about what he said that's not true? And notice that I didn't use the word rival, because that's not a rivalry. A rivalry is a battle between equals. What this is an annual game between two teams in the same conference. They're not equals. Michigan has lost 8 straight. In the last few years, Purdue and Iowa have more wins over Ohio State than Michigan does. Let that sink in for a minute. There's no rivalry here. When we come back, more of that. Open phones. And I've got some other things I want to get to, including what happened to the Patriots last night. All of that is still ahead. Stay tuned.